yonder hill.
You're listening to Brevard County's very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM WMIE. Lord, make me
an instrument. We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. We want to thank you for making us part of your day, and we pray that this part of your day makes the other parts of your day that much better. So thank you for tuning in. Merritt Assembly of God exists to be a blessing. That is what we strive to do on a regular basis. We want to be a blessing to God. We want to be a blessing to our families. We want to be a blessing to the church, and we want to be a blessing to the community. We strive to be a blessing spiritually, relationally, tangibly. However we can be a blessing, that's what we try and do. And like to start off today by saying thank you to the folks of Wyrick Air. They are based right here in Rockledge, Florida. Their phone number is 321-632-9538. 321-632-9538. If you have air conditioning or heating or electrical issues, they are the folks to call. They've been providing professional sales, services, and repairs in all three of those fields for over 40 years. They work in residential settings, light commercial settings, and provide emergency service when necessary. They strive to provide you with the best service possible and an affordable price. So write this number down, before you find yourself in need of their services. 321-632-9538. 321-632-9538. That way you've got it written down there. W-E-I-R-I-C-H, Wyrick Air in Rockledge, Florida. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. So yesterday we were in Isaiah chapter 11. We had concluded at verse number 2, talking about the various aspects of the Spirit of the Lord, which, you know, is the word for spirit and wind and breath are all the same word in Hebrew. And then in verse number 3, we move on to the attitude of Jesus, and it says, His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips. He shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. So I want to focus on this verse today on his delight is in the fear of the Lord. In other words, he took a great deal of joy and pleasure in his relationship, his being in awe of the Heavenly Father, and that was his source of joy. If I were to ask you, what is it that brings you joy? What is it that causes you to be delighted? It puts you in a good mood. How far down the list would we have to go before we came to the fear of the Lord? Now, we're going to talk about it from this passage here today, and we're going to contrast that in the next place that we go in the Word of God. We're going to show what they delight in, which is entirely different than the things that Jesus delighted in. So we really need God to put that desire in our heart to where we do delight in the fear of the Lord. That doesn't mean that we're fearful of him. We are in awe of him. And I just really don't know how many different ways to say that. He's a holy God, and we need to appreciate him and not take that relationship for granted. I encourage you, any good, godly relationship that you have in your life, don't take it for granted. Sow into it, invest in it, take joy in it, and don't be the type of person that chases fantasies, because the Bible says he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. So verse 3 continues, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. We need to remember that God's awareness of the facts and the details are beyond clear. He has absolutely perfect comprehension of it, awareness, everything that is going on. And so when we look at something, we get a limited perception of it. Sometimes it could be a really fast experience, something that just flashes across our vision field, and we say, what was that? It could be something that we catch out of the periphery of our vision field, and it captivates our attention as well. But our vision is not perfect. You know, they have different scales for it, and I've never really been able to figure out with the equations that they put on there with pluses and minuses what all of that stuff mean. I don't have to. I just go to the doctors, and they say, that, okay, you need to wear these so that you can see as well as you should be able to. And so I say, yes, and thank you very much, and we go on our merry way. So I'm not too aware of the nearsightedness and farsighted as far as the equation. I just know what it is as far as reality goes. So in spiritual vision, there are some people who are very nearsighted, and all they can see is what is right in front of them right at the moment. That captivates their attention, and they don't see anything beyond that. There are other people who don't see the here and now. All they see is the farsighted, and so they see at a distance much better than they see up close. And sometimes in churches, we can be so heavenly focused that we miss the needs that God has positioned us strategically to be able to meet. God sees with perfect clarity the here and the now, that which is up close and that which is far away. He doesn't need a telescope. He doesn't need a microscope. He has perfect vision all the way down to the smallest minutia of creation, which, you know, an electron microscope is still trying to probe and get down to the deepest levels. And he doesn't need some space telescope to be able to know what's going on in the heavenlies. He's got perfect vision. He's not swayed by the things that he hears. So people can spin words. I've heard people call other people wordsmiths, that they can craft together a sentence or a paragraph or a story in such a way that you are intrigued, you're captivated, but you don't know whether they're telling the truth or not. And so God isn't swayed by what a great speaker I am or what a great speaker you are. He has perfect awareness. And so when he passes judgment on a situation, it's not by sight and it's not by sound, but verse number 4 says that he judges with righteousness, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor. So I want you to understand that everyone will stand before God in some level of judgment. And each of us on our own would stand there guilty in our sin beyond question. When the wicked and unrepentant stand before God and they are removed from his presence, they will still declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is righteous, he's true, and they blew it. The angels will see that God is righteous and merciful and true and full of grace and full of spirit and full of truth. All of that, all the while he is passing perfect, holy, and righteous judgment. It's not just people who have small bank accounts. It's not people who others do not know their name in any sort of fame or accomplishment. It is not the anonymous of the earth. Just because people are rich or powerful or political or well-known or well-liked or have a special skill or a talent they have used, they're not going to get a free pass. You see, when Jesus judges with righteousness, that means it is the same standard for all. And so it says in verse number 4, he continues, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. That's kind of a modern buzzword. Iniquity is kind of tied in that it is not an equitable situation. Where people are using that in 2023, they are using that in a way that basically means we want everyone to have the same outcome. And I can tell you from the scriptures, not every human being is going to receive the same reward or the same consequence. It all has to do with how we've responded to the invitation of Jesus to have our sins forgiven and him be the Lord of our life, and the faithful obedience that we've walked in with him as a result of that decision. So it is not equal outcome, but it is an equal standard. There is no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved but the name of Jesus. He is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. And so the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And so it is the way that God makes the decision as to whether we are going to spend eternity with him or eternity apart from him. It's the same thing. Everybody has the same option. So it says, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. So equity is a place where it is level, it is grounded, and it is justice. It is justice. So the meek of the earth, a lot of times Christians think of meekness as weakness. I'm guilty of that. You know, I spent a lot of my time thinking that, you know, hey, I just want to get along with people. I just want people to be nice. And, you know, I want them to like me and all that sort of stuff. Here's what I've come to realize. Not everybody's going to like me. And if they don't like me, that doesn't mean that I have to live a condemned life saying, oh, no, they didn't like me, when I'm living under the standard of God, are you approving? Because if you're approving, then I'm approving, and we're good. So meekness is actually great strength under control. So I was in my office before I came into the radio studio, and I'm in there, and I hear this loud yelling, and I cannot repeat the words that was being yelled at the top of their lungs. And I looked out the window to see if there was some sort of domestic situation or, you know, road rage incident that was taking place, all of which is possible. And instead, I looked in about a block and a half down the road. There's this person all by themselves, and they are just they're just yelling. They are completely out of control. And I don't know what had gone on with them before that. You and I, we need to be able to show that self-control is in an operation in our life. Sometimes that means that we don't say what we would want to say because it's our flesh that wants us to say it. Sometimes we need to say that which we don't want to say because it's the Spirit of God that is wanting us to say that. So you can't look at a situation and say, well, you've got to do this all the time and you've got to do this all of the time, and because it depends on is the Spirit of God driving you? Is this a righteous standard, a righteous judgment that is going forth? And if it is, then he says, you know what, I'm going to make a decision in your favor because you are operating in faith, you are operating under the control of the Lord, and you are operating with the strength of the Almighty, all the while maintaining an attitude of love. That's very, very challenging. So, verse 4 now transitions, and it begins to describe how Jesus is going to mete out his verdict, how he is going to make sure that the sentence is carried out. It says, he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips, he shall slay the wicked. Here is the reality, and that is God does not only speak just to believers. He speaks to the world. And there's coming a time when the words that are launched from the mouth of Jesus Christ, that they are going to go forth with power, they are going to go forth with force and truth, and it is irresistible. The word of the Lord never returns back to God void or having missed its mark. And when it is a word to a person that needs to know that Jesus is there standing by to forgive their sins and to be the Lord of their life, that word strikes its mark. You say, well, how come they haven't given their life to Jesus yet? Well, when you plant a seed in the garden, it doesn't necessarily come forth right that same day. You've got to allow time for the Holy Spirit. Now, could it be a Paul on the road to Damascus situation? Absolutely, it could. But even Paul, who was known as Saul at that point in time, needed an Ananias to come and bring him enlightenment and healing to his body and confirm the things that he had just heard. So please understand that even though the message that we preach now is one of forgiveness, that there is a message of judgment that is coming at some point in time, and it is not going to be sugar-coated. It is not going to be a soft delivery. It has come, it's described here as striking the earth with the rod of his mouth. It goes on and it says, and with the breath of his lips, he shall slay the wicked. And so I looked this up, and wicked there means a guilty person or a wicked person. I've told you before, one of the strangest things I think in the judicial system is when a person is caught red-handed, there's video evidence, there's eyewitness testimony, there's physical evidence, and they were caught in the act, and then they go before a judge, and how do you plead? Not guilty. Really? You know, and the only thing that I can think of is at that point in time, they are trying to get a softer sentence. I want you to know that God doesn't accept plea bargains. You're not going to be able to negotiate him down from spending an eternity apart from him. Well, maybe a year or two. No, that's not the way it works. There is a misconception that many people have as that there's some middle ground between eternity with him and eternity apart from him, that, you know, maybe you can get time served and things like that. No, the life that we live and how we respond to Jesus has eternal ramifications. And it says here, with just the breath of his mouth, that the wicked will cease to live. A lot of people think, wow, God must be really upset with me and is trying to get my attention because he's doing all of this and he's doing all of that. That's not a sign of God's anger. That's a sign of God's love. Read the book of Ezekiel and see how many times it says, then you shall know that I am the Lord. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. The actions that he takes are to bring awareness as to the fact that he is the one true God and that people need to submit their will to his will because his will is perfect. For those people who reject over and over and over again, there will come a time when God will use his breath that he breathed life into them, and with that same breath, same power of the Holy Spirit, will just breathe and they will be gone, removed from his presence. Verse number 5 says, righteousness shall be the belt of his loins and faithfulness the belt of his waist. A lot of people forget that God does have a standard for the way he should be treated. And it's not whimsical. It's not flippant. It's not a moving standard from day to day. He deserves to be treated as God. And he always has been and always will be righteous and faithful. If Jesus ever ceased to be righteous and faithful, he would no longer be the holy God that deserves to be praised. So on your good days, Jesus is righteous and faithful. On your challenging days, Jesus is righteous and faithful. When you are feeling down, you can encourage yourself that God is still exactly who he said he was, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the beginning and the end. And with all of those challenges that we face, never forget that those who have rejected God, that you don't have to be the one who deals with their correction. You and I have the privilege of praying for them. God's the one that will deal with them. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And I don't want to touch anything that God says belongs to him. Now, here's what we do in this wicked, backslidden, God-forsaking society that we live in, we pray for the Holy Spirit to minister to those who have been at enmity against God, because we were at once at enmity. We pray for them that their heart would be tender and sensitive to the Lord. We pray for them to respond to God so that they can have their sins forgiven. And we live the life that exemplifies and replicates the message. It's the message with skin on. It's the love of God with skin on. That's what we are in our community. And we do that day in and day out. And just like when the persecutor Saul got transformed on the road to Damascus, we stand there with arms open wide, ready to receive these newly forgiven into the body of Christ, to where they will also learn to grow and thrive in their relationship with God. If you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, please respond to the Holy Spirit's gentle instruction in your life, inviting you to be forgiven of your sins, because at one point in time, it will be a much more forceful breath from the mouth of God that will deal with the wicked. I want to respond to the tender voice of the Lord. So I want to invite you out to church this coming Sunday. We would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing at Merritt Assembly of God. Our church is located at 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. We have Sunday school at 9:30 of a morning. We have worship service at 10:30. And if you don't have a church home, don't put that off. There are a lot of people, I hear people say this with regularity, I don't go to church because there's hypocrites there. Well, a person asked me, how do you respond to that? And I didn't have an answer too much at first. And then all of a sudden, God dropped this in my heart. Yes, there may be people who are hypocrites in the church, but you know what? Every time that the church meets, there is the opportunity that is presented there that the Holy Spirit will deal with that person. The church is the only place on planet Earth where hypocrisy gets dealt with in a glorious manner, and hypocrites become great helpers in the body of Christ. So don't deprive yourself of the blessing of fellowship with the saints and worshiping the Lord together just because you had a bad experience at church. If you think, I haven't ever had a bad experience at church, you would be mistaken. But you know what? I love Jesus, and I love gathering with saints, and I think you'd love worshiping at Merritt Assembly. Y'all have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Up the stars, one breath that gives life, one sovereign in power, who speaks with thunder and fire.